hearing for so many days about the yoga ladder, which means basically the process of advancement. The process of advancement and the stages of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Yesterday we heard, amongst other things, about the process or the steps, beginning with being detached from one's work, the fruit of one's work, and then offering the fruit to Krishna. Then, from that, one understands clearly that one is not one's body. And then the next stage above that is one focuses his consciousness on the Supreme, and then at that point he becomes liberated. But that liberation can be on one of three levels. It can be on the level of Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Do you have a chair?
Huh? She doesn't want to sit. She doesn't want to stand.
You understand? So, at the end of the fifth chapter, after explaining about the process of attaining liberation, then Krishna explains right at the end of the fifth chapter the process, or rather how one can attain that same stage of liberation through the process of Astanga Yoga. He explains it so briefly. And then the sixth chapter begins Krishna's explanation of the process of Astanga Yoga and how to achieve liberation. Go away, you're too close. Huh? Good. Go back further. But not too far. Don't go all the way back to Odessa. Stay in Vrindavan. So Krishna is going to explain the process of attaining liberation through Astanga Yoga. But this stage of liberation through Astanga Yoga is going to be ultimately Paramatma. Beyond Brahman, or rather not exactly beyond, but with more detail, more personal feature. And then after that, right at the end of the sixth chapter, and continuing for the next six chapters, Krishna is going to explain the final stage, and that is Bhagavan realization, and Krishna will speak something about himself. Now, today I mentioned, or rather yesterday I mentioned, that today we will speak about one of the essential features of Krishna consciousness, the process of controlling the mind. And this is very essential to the practice of yoga, whether it is Astanga Yoga or any type of yoga. But here we'll trace how Krishna describes this in the process of Dhyana Yoga or Astanga Yoga. Dhyana means the one of the final stages of Astanga Yoga. Dhyana, Dharan, Dhyan, and Samadhi. So this is the process of Dhyan, or meditating one's mind. But before one can meditate one's mind on the Supreme, focus one's mind on the Supreme, one has to be very pure. And we'll hear about that, and what problems Arjuna sees in this. So in the first part of this, in the first verses, Krishna begins, he makes the same point again, how the one who is truly renounced is the one who does not renounce the actual work, but he renounces the fruit of his work. So that means he's so renounced that he's even working for Krishna. He's doing, his activity is used in Krishna's service. And he is the true sannyasi, the true tyagi, the true mystic. And then Krishna explains the essence of yoga being The renunciation of the desire for sense gratification. Because yoga means linking with the supreme. And sense gratification means staying in the material world, gratifying the mind, gratifying the senses, gratifying the body. That means we have to stay in the material world. So in Krishna consciousness, or any type of yoga, one has to, he must, give up the desire and the practices of sense gratification. And therefore, as we explained a few days ago, that the intimate dealings between man and woman, they must be given up. Because especially those dealings that fixes one in the bodily concept of life, it forces one, that type of calm. Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samudbhava, Mahashano Mahapama. This is the Vidyayanamaya Vavinam. This is the great sinful enemy because it fixes just the mode of passion combined with the mode of ignorance. It fixes the living entity in the bodily concept of life. That means that we cannot avoid thinking that we are the body. And we cannot avoid acting like we are the body. And then if we are thinking that we are our body and acting as our body, what is the question of any yoga or connection with transcendence? Rather, we are forced to remain in the material world. So therefore, Prabhupada summed it up so simply by saying, sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. Especially sex life. Prabhupada has even said, that our whole Krishna consciousness means to give up sex life. That is the purpose of Krishna consciousness. That means to give up the material world and material life. Because this, sometimes we may think, as actually Krishna says it, that this calm or desire lives in the mind, the intelligence and the senses. But it is actually also, in its most essential feature, living in the false ego. Because it means envy of Krishna, that we want to be the enjoyer. This is false ego. Who is this Krishna? What right does he have to say that he is God? I am, after all, I am so. I deserve more. Who is this Krishna? So it is actually this envy of Krishna being the enjoyer. The bhokta, bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokameshwaram. And we can be sure if we were the bhokta or the enjoyer, and if we were the sarvalokameshwaram, we would not be suridam sarvabhutanam. We would not be the friend of anyone. We would crush everyone like Haranyakashipu. When Haranyakashipu, he became actually sarvalokameshwaram. And he crushed everyone. Even the demigods would have to come and touch his feet because he was the embodiment of the demonic mentality. Haranya and Kashipu, gold and sovbe, power and enjoyment. So this is the nature of the envy of the conditioned soul. And it is living in the false ego. And this actually relates very much to the point that we'll come to of the process of controlling the mind, and the very process of Krishna consciousness means giving up the false ego. And what is the first thing, what is the first element that Rupa Goswami prescribes as the, in devotional service? What is the first anga? Adorned with 64 items? Yes. Yeah, so that you surrender, take shelter of the Guru. How hard that is for a conditioned soul. Because he's thinking he's God. Who should I take shelter of? I'm so intelligent. I see contradictions in every scripture. I'm so intelligent. So Krishna explains here clearly that no one can become a yogi unless he renounces the desire for sense gratification. There's a famous, or maybe it's not so famous, but when Prabhupada was speaking with John Lennon of the famous, and George Harrison of the Beatles, You can imagine where John Lennon is right now, since he probably identified with being a Beatle. But in any case, he was very fortunate, actually, because he came under the very magnanimous glance of Srila Prabhupada. So he and George Harrison and John Lennon's wife, Prabhupada, was staying at their home, or John Lennon's house in Sittenhurst in England. Big mansion. And Prabhupada, they were sitting together with Yoko Ono, John Lennon's wife, and they asked Prabhupada, isn't there another, do you have any other songs that you sing, any other mantras other than Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, yes, so many. What's one? And then Prabhupada began to sing, Matirna Krishna Parikapsvatova Nityo Vipadiri Vihavatanam Andante Govir Vishetatinisran Puna Puna Chavite Chavananam. That one, Matirna Krishna, the inclination towards Krishna, will not develop in anyone by his own desire, by other people talking to him, or a group of people talking to him, as long as he has taken griha vrat, or made the purpose of his life sense gratification. Of all the thousands of verses, Prabhupada picked that one to tell him that if this is your desire for sense gratification, there is no question of yoga or any connection with the Supreme. So we have to root this out of our heart. Out of our heart, out of our, get rid of the false ego, out of our intelligence, out of our mind, and out of our senses. So we've discussed this at the end of the third chapter. So then Krishna starts explaining the process of yoga. And the yoga ruddha stage, or the pure heart stage, is described where one can actually give up work, when one renounces all material desire. Then Krishna explains something about the mind. One must deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. Govinda Das also explains this. Bhajohure mana chinandana abhaya charanam. That the mind is the center of the process. If the mind becomes your friend, that means it becomes attached to Krishna, it develops matirna Krishna, Krishna, an inclination towards Krishna. Then the mind is the greatest friend, because it will always accept things in good. Anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varshana. It will accept what's good for advancement. And on the other hand, if the mind becomes averse to Krishna and desires sense gratification, then it will always make the wrong decision. It will pull the living entity in the wrong way. So the mind is the friend of the conditioned soul. The mind has the capacity to be the friend of the conditioned soul, and has the capacity to be the enemy as well. For him who has conquered the mind, that means placed the mind under the control of Krishna. The mind is the best of friends, but for one who has failed to do so, his mind will be the greatest, remain the greatest enemy. And how unfortunate someone is, I'll say it even more clearly, how unfortunate I am, that my greatest enemy is living with me and accompanying me everywhere I go, and that is my mind. This is what Rahugana was told by Uddhava Bharat. He said, the one who is king in this world is the one who has controlled his mind. He is actually victorious. So then, next, text 7, through 7 through 9 actually tell the symptoms of one who has controlled his mind. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul has already reached. So that means the mind accepting and rejecting is the thing stopping us from spiritual advancement and seeing Krishna face to face. The mind's materialistic, selfish, foolish tendencies. To such a man, he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, and here are the symptoms, heat and cold, honor and dishonor, are all the same. So he is not of the material world, practically speaking. A person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi or mystic when he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization, so his mind is satisfied. Such a person is situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it be pebble, stone, or gold, is the same. So that means he sees no independent value in anything of this material world. He values nothing in the material world. He sees nothing as separate from Krishna. And in and of itself, nothing has value. Because he's not interested in sense gratification, he's connected in yoga. Now the next one, in text 9, is the most difficult and most advanced symptom of the transcendentalist. A person is considered still further advanced when he regards honest well-wishers, affectionate benefactors, the neutral, the mediators, the envious, friends and enemies, the pious and the sinners, all with an equal mind. This is most difficult. To see those who hate us, who want to kill us, who want to dethrone us, in the same way as our loving relatives and dearest friends and parents. To see, and how to do that, you really have to, you have to be fixed in transcendence. You have to see that Krishna, and this is Krishna's desire, that this person is a soul, and these, and Krishna is allowing him to do this, the modes of material nature are working, it is not him. So one has to be so fixed, not only just intellectually, but one has to be so deeply realized to be on this stage. So then, that was the 9th verse, and imagine Krishna is telling this to Arjuna, and Arjuna is on a battlefield, and on the other side is Duryodhana and Karna, and these people have given his family so much trouble, and he's telling, and Arjuna is saying, I want to leave the battlefield and practice yoga. And Krishna says, well, this is the stage of yoga that you should attain to, Arjuna. You should see everyone, honest well-wishers. He's got all his side on one side, and the people are trying to kill him, or are so envious on the other side. You have to see them with an equal mind. So then after that, Krishna begins to describe how to practice yoga. You have to go to a solitary place, sit on a deer skin so that snakes don't disturb you, sit straight, focus your eyesight on the tip of your nose, etc. Completely celibate, not eating too much, too little, etc., etc., etc. And then he describes the process, the practice, and the symptoms of samadhi, of the actual process, because he's describing the process, and the, of when's one's consciousness is completely focused on the Supreme. So he gets up, he describes the process from the beginning to the end, up to samadhi. And then in text 24, it goes back to the mind. Krishna's talk goes back to the mind. And the final stages were described of samadhi before that. So how is it obtained? So there are different principles of success. Now these apply to Astanga Yoga, but they apply to all spiritual practices. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith. Without faith, one cannot have determination. Why? Because one won't have the strength to continue, or the desire to continue on the path, because one's not sure where the path will lead. And where faith is born from the mode of goodness, and faith is developed by hearing Shastra and the association of devotees. One should abandon, without exception, all material desires born of mental speculation, and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. And Prabhupada, in his purport, tells a nice story that I think also Balaji Bhushana also does. As the determination, One should follow the example of the sparrow who lost her eggs in the waves of the ocean. A sparrow laid her eggs on the shore of the ocean, but the big ocean carried away the eggs on its waves. The sparrow became very upset. What is the Hindi word for a sparrow?
Chirya.
That means bird.
Gilahari.
Anyway, little sparrow. We know these little sparrows around. Yeah. And the ocean is so huge. And what does the sparrow's eggs get taken away? And what does the sparrow say? First goes to the ocean and says, please give me back my eggs. The ocean doesn't even listen. So the sparrow decided to dry up the ocean. Little sparrow drying up the ocean with its little beaks. Ridiculous! She began to pick out the water in her small beak, and everyone laughed at her for her impossible determination. The news of her activity spread, and at last Garuda, the gigantic bird carrier of Lord Vishnu, heard it. He became compassionate towards his smaller sister bird, so he came to see the sparrow. Garuda was very pleased by the determination of the small sparrow, and he promised to help. Thus Garuda at once asked the ocean to return her eggs, lest he himself take up the work of the sparrow. The ocean was frightened by this and returned the eggs. Thus the sparrow became happy by the grace of Garuda. Similarly, the practice of yoga, especially bhakti yoga and Krishna consciousness, may appear to be a very difficult job. But if anyone follows the principles with great determination, the Lord will surely help, for God helps those who help themselves. Powerful. This is why we like to distribute Prabhupada's books, because they are powerful. So gradually, step by step, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence. We have just heard about this at the end of the fifth chapter. Evam buddhi param buddhva samstavyat mabhanabhana. Jahi Kshatriyam Mahabaho Kamarupa Durasadam. This formidable enemy, Durasadam means formidable, enemy of Kamarup, can be conquered by the strength of fixed up, trained up, determined, faithful, Krishna conscious intelligence. Thus the mind, by means of intelligence, with full conviction, and thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. And then, yato yato nischalati. Here's a description of what the mind is like when we're so fully. From now on, when I chant japa, I'm going to listen to every single word. And never again, with full determination and full faith and full conviction, I shall never let my mind wander again. But there is one problem, well, not one problem, the one problem is the mind. And then all the rest of the problems are the characteristics of the mind. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astiram. So this is the quality of the mind. It is nischalati. It is always agitated. Yato yato nischalati, it's always agitated. Manas chanchalam. Chanchalam means it's flickering. And astiram means it's unsteady. So the mind is always agitated, flickering and unsteady. So we say, I'm always going to think about Krishna, and I'm not going to think about monkeys anymore, especially monkeys that have long tails. Sometimes I think about the monkeys here that have short tails, but I'm not going to think about them. But the long ones, and I saw, and one time I was at the zoo and I saw some monkeys with really long tails, and they were fighting, they were eating, but oh no, I'm only supposed to think of Krishna. From now on, I'm not going to. And on and on and on. And at the end of a few rounds, you feel like you've been wrestling with someone and they've been throwing you around and beating you all over the place. I shouldn't have said you, I'm just speaking of myself actually. But here are Krishna's instructions. Don't try to make your mind peaceful by indulging it. We've heard this before. When the material desires are compared to a fire, and don't try to satisfy the fire so it will go down by giving it wood and fuel. No, neglect. Don't indulge the mind by giving in. So bring it back, withdraw it, and bring it back under the control of the self. The yogi whose mind is fixed on me, Krishna says on me, verily attains the highest perfection of transcendental happiness. Even before one actually attains the highest perfection, one becomes so happy. Because he is beyond, if he focuses his mind, if he develops the ability to focus his mind on Krishna, he is beyond the mode of passion, he realizes his qualitative identity with the Supreme, and he is free from all reactions to past deeds. So this is self-realization. He's free from all anartas, he's in the mode of goodness, and he's focusing his mind on Krishna, and that will actually bring him higher. Thus the self-controlled yogi, constantly engaged in yoga practice, becomes free from all material contamination and achieves the highest stage of perfect happiness and transcendental loving service to the Lord. Now, a true yogi observes me in all beings and sees everything, every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. He sees that all living beings have the Supersoul within, but yet everything is within the Supersoul. And this vision is direct, not just theoretical intellectual understanding. And then for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So this is what Krishna is saying. The stage is so wonderful. Everywhere one looks, one will see Krishna and Krishna's mercy. It's a state of consciousness. Just like a person who is thinking about money, and he's very greedy. Everywhere he looks, he will see things that are ways to make money. And a devotee, a preacher, everywhere he looks, he will see different opportunities for preaching and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So it depends on the mind. We see with the mind, not with the eyes. So one who sees Krishna everywhere. And then, Krishna says, such a yogi engages in the worshipful service of the Supersoul, knowing that I and the Supersoul are one, remains always in me in all circumstances. He is a perfect yogi who, by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings. So this again goes back to that symptom of a yogi who has controlled his mind. He sees everyone equally in both their happiness and distress, O Arjuna. So his activities have to equal his vision that he sees equally. So he has to treat everyone equally too. So when Arjuna heard this, the process of yoga like this, especially the need for equal vision. And there he was again on the battlefield, ready to shoot his arrows, having to be angry to fight. He realized that this is impossible for me. I cannot develop this equanimity of mind. I cannot do it. So therefore he said, O Madhusudan, the system of yoga which you have summarized appears impractical and unendurable to me, for the mind is restless and unsteady. The mind is restless. Chanchalam hi mana krishna pramati balayadvidham. The mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong. And to subdue it, O Krishna, I think is more difficult than controlling the wind. Just try to control the wind. What will you do? Take a stick, go after it with a bag, or a net, or tell the the CID, the police force, control the wind. It was like that with the mind. Now, to Arjuna's doubt, this is what Krishna says. Asam sayam mahavaho mano dunigram saram abhyasya tu kanteya varagyena shakriyate. Lord Sri Krishna said, Almighty Om, son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Abhyas and Vairagya. Abhyas and Vairagya. Abhyas means practice, and Vairagya means renunciation. This is what Krishna recommends to control the mind. Not quite yet. It's hard to control the mind, isn't it? I thought even to control the mind. I think, why don't we go out for a few minutes? Because it's so hot and there's no air in here,
yeah?
We're all going to die. Oh, we can't die, we're souls. No wonder, you're really determined. You have that quality. It's good. So, no, you can't ask a question now. No, you can't. No, you can't. No. So, these two, without Vairagya, without detachment, there is no question of controlling the mind. Why? Because controlling the mind means fixing it on Krishna. And if one is attached to material enjoyments, how will we fix our mind on Krishna? It is not possible, because the mind will always run towards sense enjoyment. The example is given that the body is a chariot, the horses are the senses, and the mind are the reins, or the driving instruments. The intelligence is the driver, and the soul is the passenger. So what happens is that the senses go out of control. The horses go racing one way, this way, that way, out of control. And the mind gets pulled in whatever direction the horses are running. And the intelligence gets pulled along. And the soul, the passenger, suffers. That is the improper way to drive in the chariot. The proper way is that the soul or the passenger says, I want to go this way. And the driver says, yes, and grabs hold of the reins, the mind. The intelligence says, yes. You want to serve Krishna, I will tell you how to do it. And he grabs the mind and controls the mind and forces the senses to go in the direction that the passenger is ordering. That is the proper situation. But if the horses are just interested and they're out of control and they are just desiring to enjoy themselves, then the situation is very bleak or impossible. Then the mind will get driven, pulled naturally in every direction. So the first question, or the first point, is that to control the mind, we have to become detached from material enjoyment and sense gratification. And on the other side, we have to become attached to Krishna. Vishyavinivartante niraharasidenam rasovajamrasopyasya paramdusvinavartate. That by attaining a higher taste in Krishna consciousness, then the lesser tastes of sense gratification will appear lesser and pale and weak. When we become motivated by the sweetness of Krishna consciousness, then then our job is so much easier. And again, that's why we come to Vrindavan, to get those tastes, to make sure we get those tastes, to hear and chant in this holy place, in the association of devotees, and taste the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. And then that sweetness is such of a different quality than material sense enjoyment that we gain strength to go on in Krishna consciousness and not turn back and think that sense gratification, any form, subtle or gross, is worth anything at all. So the key again, even in Vairagya, is that higher taste of Krishna consciousness. Because if all the time we are thinking, I cannot do this, and I cannot do this, and I cannot do this, and I'm not allowed to do that, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, the mind will just meditate on those objects of the sense gratification. We'll just simply meditate on those objects, and then ultimately we'll fall down into the material form. The other point that Krishna makes is practice. That it doesn't happen overnight, this attachment to Krishna, or Vairagya, or making advancement. It can happen overnight, but generally it doesn't happen overnight. So one has to practice and practice and practice. And one has to become determined, and one has to be getting the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. And one has to be enthusiastic. These come. These come by hearing. Hearing and chanting. So I'll just make a few points about that, just about hearing and chanting, and then we'll talk about what I asked you to think about the process of what is it that helps you to control your mind, and how you all do in japa in the morning, and see if we can get some inspiration in that regard and try to apply it tomorrow, if we can do that or whatever, and see if we can improve a little bit. So by hearing, this is explained very clearly in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, when we work very hard in service of the spiritual master, Shushru Sho Shradhananasya, Vasudeva Gitaruchi, Syan Matseveya Vipro, Punya, Tirtina Sevena. That one by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service one gains a taste or affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. So when one has a desire to hear, then one hears and hears and hears, and then when one hears and hears and hears, then one remembers and remembers and remembers. And when one is remembering Krishna, then one's consciousness becomes purified. This is the basic process. I've quoted this verse many, many times, and I'll read another quote in a few minutes of Prabhupada. He also quotes the verse. Smartavya satatam Vishnu vishmartavya na datta chit sava vini na seva cha. Good. Who said that? Good. Very good. Etiya eva kinkra. All the rules and regulations are service. Their purpose is to help us remember Krishna and help us never forget Krishna. We should think of the rules and regulations as in this context, and understand their purpose. We are meant to be always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Him. And when one has the faith in Krishna consciousness and hearing, then one is very fortunate, because so much instruction, so much food for thought will enter our minds. And then the next verse, after one gets the taste, it describes Sri Krishna, Srinivatam Svakata Krishna, Punyasravana Kirtanam, Radantastoya Bhadrani Vidunati Saritsatam. That Krishna, from within the heart, acts as the special well-wisher of the devotee who has that taste. And he himself, from within, will clean the heart of the abhadrani. This is anartana vritti. This is the process of cleaning the basic anartas from the heart. And then, nasta prayesha bhadresha, by regular attendance on the class on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service to the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So this is actually going through higher stages, nishtha up to bhava, actually. Talking about irrevocable devotional service in the heart means bhava. So the process is hearing, and hearing and remembering Krishna, and working for Krishna, and remembering that we're working for Krishna. And the purpose is to, 24 hours a day, remember Krishna. And then when we chant japa, our mind will wander, but it will wander to Krishna. If we live and organize our life in such a way that we cannot forget Krishna, then our mind will wander to Krishna. Now, here's just a few things that Prabhupada said. This is a room conversation. One guest says, she is also doing that japa. And while this mala, doing mala and doing the japa, the mind doesn't remain fixed in God. You know, it wanders about. So what is the way of fixing the mind? Prabhupada says, to hear. Hare Krishna. Chant and hear. So the guest says, you should speak loudly when you chant, when you are chanting japa. And another guest says, speak loudly, but still the mind goes away, here and there. And sometimes we hear devotees in the temple, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare! And everyone else has to go 3 or 4 miles away. You know, they want to control their minds, but they don't know how anyone else the sanctity to hear their own chanting. So this one lady, guest lady, says, speak loudly, but still the mind goes away here and there. Prabhupada says, then that is called Abhyas Yoga Yuktena Chaitasa Nanyagamina. That you have to practice. We have got a Sankhya. Sankhya means counting the number of rounds every day. You must perform, you must chant so many rounds every day. It doesn't matter what is the... Then gradually you'll make advancement. That is the only way. Hariya Nama, Hariya Nama, Hariya Nama, Eva Kevala. Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gattiriyata. So we have to follow. And actually it is becoming effective. And the guest says, I think it takes many births to have the effect. No. You can have immediately, provided you follow the rules and regulations. That's all. Not many births. Immediately. Tat shanat. Shushushabi tat shanat. That the Lord, this is from the Bhagavatam, the third verse, that the Lord immediately becomes captured in the heart by proper hearing of the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam it is said, Ishwara sadhya ridde avruddite shushushabi tat shanat. This tat shanat means immediately. But one must be very eager. That's all. That is the only qualification. And this, the fact that eagerness is the only qualification, I see in my own practices, that is my only lack. Lack of eagerness. Eagerness means desire, and desire to serve Krishna and chant his names properly means sincerity. So the only problem, although I see so many other problems, the only problem is actually my lack of sincerity. That I don't have a strong desire to serve Krishna. I have so many other desires instead. Bahu shakartanantascha budeo avyavyasayina. Many branched is my intelligence in mind. I have so many desires, and so many plans, and so many things I want to do today and tomorrow. So many people, instead of saying what I did tell them, I should have told them this and that and that, and then I would have answered them properly. And my mind all day long, just spreading so thinly, no desire to serve, actual desire to serve Krishna. And then every once in a while, when I'm in sufficient anxiety and distress, I'll say, Krishna, 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 please let me change something. And then immediately Krishna reciprocates. A little teeny bit of sincerity and Krishna immediately reciprocates. So our business is to become sincere and eager and act on that. And no one can stop us if you actually had sincerity and eagerness. Maya, one time someone said to Prabhupada, Maya is so strong, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, Maya is not strong, you are weak. And this is actually the case. We are weak in our desire to serve Krishna. We are strong in so many other desires, insincere desires, selfish desires. That is our strength, and that is our weakness. Tatra loyam apimulyam ekalam. Ramananda Roy, as told by Mahaprabhu. There is one price for actually relishing and tasting the sweet taste of Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti rasa, rasita bhavita bhakti. There is one price, tatra loyam. Abhimuyam ekalam. This one price is greed, eagerness. So therefore, another conversation with Prabhupada, with some good instructions on how to proceed. If you have engaged your mind in Krishna, the mind is the king of the senses, then your senses cannot be misled. Savai mana Krishna parara vindaya vachamsi vaikuntha gunana varnanai. Then if your mind is always in Krishna, manmana bhava mad bhakto, then what you'll speak except Krishna? If you speak nonsense, that means your mind is not engaged in Krishna. The mind is the center of all sensual activities. So if your mind is always in Krishna, how can we talk nonsense? Savai mana Krishna pararavindaya vachamsi vaikuntha gunana vanaye. He'll be always engaged in talking about Krishna. That is wanted. So if we keep our mind always in Krishna consciousness, then there is no question of mona or silence, because we'll have to talk about Krishna. Why shall I remain silent? If we talk about Krishna or what Krishna has said, then I am benefited. And the audience, he is also benefited. Take Bhagavad Gita and talk. So those who are Krishna's devotees, they'll gladly hear. Those who are inquisitive, innocent, they'll also hear. And the drisha, those who are envious, they'll go away. That's good. Clear. Talk about Krishna. That is spiritual. Don't talk anything else. Prabhupada, if we... what about we went out distributing in some place and we get them to chant Hare Krishna at that time, and then if we leave them, they forget. Did they become purified? Prabhupada, yes. You go constantly. Kirtaniya Sadhari. Srinada Pisa Nishena, Tarora Pisa Isnana, Manina Manadena Kirtani Asadhari. The program is that we should chant 24 hours Hare Krishna. If not, as far as possible. One devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, you said that by chanting Hare Krishna you can go back home to Godhead. So if you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and not follow the regulation, not reading your books, can you go back to Godhead? Prabhupada, begin chanting. Then everything will be alright. Begin chanting, then all other things will be adjusted. Yena tena prakarena mana krishna na sevaya. There are vidhi nisheda, regulative principles. If you see that you are unable to follow, then chant Hare Krishna sincerely. Then you'll be able to follow the regulative principles automatically. Devotee, Srila Prabhupada. Of course, in fact, we are fallen. And sometimes I would like every time to think about Krishna and Prabhupada. That will save you. If you simply think of Krishna and talk of Krishna, I think we discussed this verse in the morning. If your mind is always absorbed about Krishna, then you are going to be perfect. somehow or another, you think of Krishna. Manmana babamad bhakto majiji mamdamaskuru. This is the chance we are giving. Everyone can think of Krishna. Here is Krishna's form. Everyone can chant Hare Krishna. Everyone can offer obeisances. Everyone can offer some fruits and flowers. This is the opportunity. Manmana babamad bhakto majiji mamdamaskuru. These four principles then gradually develop. So, Prabhupada has made ISKCON so wonderful that there are hundreds and thousands of different kinds of people throughout the world who can so easily engage their tendencies in Krishna consciousness, in Krishna service. Whatever, they're businessmen, they're this, they're that, everyone can just do something for Krishna, and that way remember that I'm doing it for Krishna, and think about Krishna. And if we think about Krishna 24 hours a day, then when we stand down to chant Prabhupada, we'll be able to chant Prabhupada. When we have that taste, then we'll be able to chant Prabhupada. Okay, I won't say any more. Any comments about what makes their japa work? What makes it difficult to work? One other little thing, that I find that what I'm thinking about in the night, before I go to sleep, generally, after I wake up in 2 minutes, as soon as I sit down, I start thinking about that same thing again. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted the evening programs to go on. Class and RT. Anyone like to volunteer what helps them and what makes it difficult in their chanting?
I was just thinking it's easier for me to chant because I'm chanting
around the devotees. When you're around devotees? Yeah, rather than in my house, when I'm by myself.
Even if it's at least just one outside person, my husband. Sure, around the devotees.
So being in the association of devotees.
Oh, it's easier when I'm near Titi or Prabhupada, Titi or Prabhupada.
I also think it's easier to chant the same rule than by myself. But I have, like you said, like I'm sure the technique with my mind, and that's pretty often when it's really raging. Then I sit down and use pranayama.
To control your mind.
No, you breathe in, and then with the outgoing breath you chant a certain amount of mantras. Then you breathe in and you chant out.
You're practicing Danu Yoga.
It's a little speculation, but it's actually quite effective. It just takes a little longer
time. Because it controls the mind. Because pranayama, there's an intimate connection between breath and mind.
I find it helpful to control the mind, emphasizing one of the names, each of the names, for every round.
Oh, you mean the actual sound?
Hare Krishna.
I can see how it keeps you awake.
Earlier
the better. What time do you get up when it's early? What's early for you?
Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and chant like 2:23.
Earlier the better. Yeah. And also, if you go in Jagannath Puri to the house of Ramananda Roy, and you ask the people there to show you around, they won't show you what I'm going to tell you, but Ramananda Roy had a cave in his house. And this is actually done also in Raghava Pandit used to, in Govardhana, he had a cave. You go down from there because actually the atmosphere is so polluted in general. So people who go into caves and do pranayama and go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Wake up at 2:00 in the morning. Anyone other? Any other one want to reveal their secret techniques? Or what makes it difficult also?
When I'm in Dallas, walking, I'll think of being in Vrindavan, and that helps a lot. now that I'm in Vrindavan, I can't figure out what to
think about. Think about being in Vrindavan. Think of taking shelter under the tamal tree.
I read a book by Seth Group Flourish, Ending the Life of Prayer. And he speaks about how to incorporate prayer in your japa. And I didn't consciously make any plan to incorporate prayer, so it's quite any spontaneous prayer in part of the japa, but it just seems to have developed naturally. So I find that I'm, instead of just like chanting my ground, I'm actually praying.
What are you praying?
Every time I chant Hare Krishna, that's also becomes part of the same prayer.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Well, Prabhupada, in the first opening album that he said, meaning he translated the Mahamantra as, "O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service." So it's actually a calling out to Srimati Radharani, Shyamasundar, to engage us as their servant. I don't want to be in this material world stuck with this mind and these senses beating me all. I want to become your servant. I want that, please, and I have no ability unless you... Like a baby crying for mother, Prabhupada said. And when the baby cries for mother, the mother always comes. So if we actually have that sincerity, because the baby is sincere, and they're very determined, they have nothing else on their mind except they want their mother, and they want their mother now. And actually you'll notice that when a child cries, this baby cries, it has a mystic power. When a child cries, everyone's attention goes there, yes? Everyone's attention must go there. Why? Because it has so much potency. Because there's only one thing on that child's mind. I want my mother now. And there's other kinds of chanting, just like when you walk in Loy Bazaar. And you go, Hare Krishna Prabhu! Hare Krishna Prabhu! You know they immediately say, we want your money. Even though they're saying Hare Krishna, everyone knows they're saying, we want your money. So we should have sincere desire.
He distributes the most books in Sweden. He goes to bed with his Walkman, and then he wakes up with the headphones like this.
Makes all the difference for that devotee. When I chant, it's like when the chanting of bad days around is like no light during the whole day. And then when I chant the good days around, the good rounds, it is like the light being on. Bhakti Yugo, where's the light? Where? It is, huh? Oh, it's off the table. Any other thoughts and realizations about what hinders your chanting, what helps?
Prabhupada says, but devotees have increased their composition and achieved the secret disabling of chanting 16 rounds without any interruption. He said, you can beat that fight during the day.
How?
If you can beat that fight during that morning japa, then throughout the day, you will be honest in the second book.
Intense! If you chant the japa in an intense way. Okay. Class is over. It's over. Yeah, I do, Prabhupada.
Yeah.